to it this morning. I started a series last Sunday morning on the love of Christ out of Ephesians chapter 3. We'll read that and then we'll get into the second part of this message. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, last week we looked at the breadth of Christ's love, how far it extends. It's really pretty amazing when you think of how broad the love of Christ is, how many people He's already saved, and how many people are yet to be saved as a direct result of His love for sinners, His willingness to leave heaven's glory, to be found in fashion as a man, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life with no sin, obeying every law of God, inwardly and outwardly, and then voluntarily going to the cross, a place that was reserved for criminals and the worst of sinners. And He went there with no sin, perfectly undefiled, holy, harmless, yet willing to give His life for sinners all around the world. Not just Jews, but also Gentiles, who would ultimately come to faith in Jesus Christ. And one day, the breadth of Christ's love, we're going to see it all when we stand before Him dressed in the robes of righteousness that He has provided us. And we'll be there with all the elect of all ages, rejoicing in the greatness and the majesty and the power of the finished work of our great Savior. And we're going to be saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who loved us so broadly, so powerfully, that His grace has extended to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue." Oh, let's not try to limit the love of Christ. It is broad, and it extends to people all around the world. Now today, we're going to consider another aspect. And I was struck by the phrase in verse 19. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and he wants them to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, think about that phrase, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And who does He point to? Who does He direct them to? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul said in Colossians 2, in verse 9, "For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So if we are going to know the love of Christ, that passes all understanding, that is infinite. God says, if you're going to be filled with the fullness of God, it's going to come through a connection, a relationship, a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. The length of Christ's love. This is so powerful when you think about it. We live, 70 years, 80 with strength. Our love is often reciprocal. Somebody's nice to us, we say we love them. If they do something mean, like Joe sometimes, then we don't love them. We get mad at them. Well, the length of Christ's love is really immeasurable. Think about the love of Christ, the length of this love. It stretches from one eternity that can never be measured to another eternity that can never be measured. Infinite, eternal love is the length of the love that Jesus Christ has for His people. And it's never been diminished. It's never ceased. It's been continual. Christ's love for His people stretches from one eternity to another. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You understand that the love of God in Christ is as eternal as God is. And it is manifested in time to where you can experience that love by the invincible drawing in the effectual call. Because everyone that Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day." Christ's love is invincible. And in time, he draws us out of darkness into his marvelous light, out of deadness into life, so that we can experience this love. How amazing is that? When you consider how unlovable we often are. Before the world began, our Lord Jesus Christ agreed to pay the sin debt of all that the Father chose and gave to Him to redeem. So before the world began, Christ determined and purposed to set His affections upon His people in the covenant of grace. And He did that in spite of all that He saw in them: sin, wretchedness, depravity, waywardness, immorality, ungodliness, rebellion. Do I need to go on? He knew everything about us. And yet He loved us with an everlasting love. He loved me in spite of everything He knew about me. That's an amazing love. It's a marvelous love indeed. that loves in spite of rebellion, blasphemy, wickedness, and corruption. You see, before time ever existed, our names were written, I think it's significant, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus is the Lamb. The Lamb's Book of Life is the one where the Father wrote the names of all that He loved with an everlasting love, and every single one of them that were written in that Lamb's Book of Life will in time, because of their union and connection with the Lamb, because they, when He died, they died with Him. Their sins were put away. They're going to be saved. It goes all the way back to where before you ever were even a thought. Before there was ever a creation. Before there was ever the marvels and the beauty of the land in which we live, the earth that we occupy. Jesus Christ loved us. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Before the world began, Jesus Christ was ordained, appointed, decreed to be the Lamb of God, to bear the full weight of all His people in His body, bear their sins and their punishment. He knew all of that before the world began. He knew every particular sin that I would ever commit. And He was willing, because of how magnificent His love is, He was willing to come from eternity to occupy time and space and matter to take my sins as an individual upon His body, knowing full well what that would entail. Knowing full well the spitting, the shame, the hatred, and ultimately the wrath of Almighty God being poured out upon Him for me. But last week we learned that He did this for people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. So you take times thousands, times ten thousands, and thousands of thousands. He knew the pain that He would suffer. That's how lengthy it goes all the way back before we ever existed. Christ loved us before we ever loved Him. While we were yet in our sins, we didn't know it, but we were the apple of His eye, His purchased jewels, His lost sheep. In time, Christ drew us out of darkness and death and called us by His grace to follow and serve Him. I've always thought it was so interesting in John chapter 10. We often quote John 10 and verse 27 and 28 to prove preservation of the saints. Most people never even think of verse 26, what He said right before that. He said, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep, as I said unto you." There are some who don't believe. They're not His sheep. How do you know that you're one of His sheep? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. His sheep are marked by divine knowledge, and they follow Him. They hear Him. They're marked by the ear and the effectual call, and they're marked in the feet. They follow Him. And when He draws you by His power, you want Christ more than anything else in the world. You want the immeasurable love of Christ to be shed abroad in your heart, to experience the glory of forgiveness and the power of reconciliation. Oh, what a glorious day it was when the Holy Ghost shed abroad that love of God in my heart, and I first tasted that the Lord is gracious. He had determined to do it before the foundation of the world. He proved the veracity of the covenant by coming and dying in our stead and purchasing us on the cross with His own life and blood and merits. And here 2,000 years later, He calls vile, wicked sinners out of darkness into His marvelous light to experience His love. Christ's love did not stop at the point of salvation. Christ has loved us immutably and unchangeably. Even when our faith fails, Christ still loves us. Even when we rebel, Christ still loves us. Even when we get discouraged and disappointed, Christ still loves us. His love is unchanging. Do you realize that Jesus Christ has never loved you any less or any more than He has from the foundation of the world? Because His love is a perfect love. See, our love is often so imperfect. It depends a lot of times on how people treat us. Not so with the immutable love of Christ. The length is immeasurable. There are no limits. His love never decreases. It's never diminished. It's never taken away. John 13:1 is an amazing passage of Scripture to me. John 13 through 17. Charles Ross wrote a book called The Inner Sanctuary. This is the details of Christ being teaching His own people in an intense way. And I've always been amazed at how it starts. It says there in chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them to the end." He knew Peter was going to deny Him. He'd already prophesied. He'd already told Peter. In fact, He knew that every one of the disciples would be overwhelmed by their fleshly nature and the fear of man. And at the point of Christ's greatest human crisis, He knew that every single one of them were going to forsake Him. Yet it says that He loved them unto the end. In spite of what He knew they were going to do, His love never diminished. He loved them in spite of their frailties, their failures, their faults, their unbelief, their stubbornness, their fear of men. And how it cheers my heart. When I look at myself, oftentimes, those things characterize me. And yet, He continues. He is faithful to love us unto the end. You see, the love of Christ is so strong and unchanging, it not only spans eternity, but there is absolutely nothing that can ever separate us from His love. The Bible in the golden chain of redemption, it ends there in Romans 8 and verse 35 with a series of questions and answers. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And He gives you every feasible thing that men can think of that could possibly separate you eternally from Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The length of His love never stops. We'll never be separated from it. And once you've been given His righteousness, once the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you, you stand before Him, in Him, as one who positionally is completely guiltless and spotless. Look over there. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Isaiah 51. Well, this really puts a real wrench in the works of people who believe that you can lose God's salvation. Eternal love results in eternal life. And if something's eternal, it's forever. You can never diminish it. And it'll never be taken away from you. Isaiah 51, 6. It's verse 5. "My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust." You know who is the arm of God is? It's Jesus Christ. "To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? His people. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. It's because it's the righteousness of God in Christ, and it'll never be taken away, abolished. How glorious is that? Christ loves us right now. He loved us before the world began. He loved us when He died on the cross. He manifested that love. His love was experienced by us in time when the Holy Ghost shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. And Jesus is alive today. He's at the right hand of the Father. He has now entered into the heavenlies, where He's seated on His priestly throne, interceding for His people. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. His love's not stopped, still ongoing as our great high priest. And I think he gives us an idea what his intercession is all about when he prayed his high priestly prayer on the earth. John 17 should properly be called the Lord's Prayer. The other one's the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. He's teaching them how to pray. This is the heart of Christ in John 17, revealed how He loves us. It says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That's me and you. He's praying this before we were ever born, that one day we would believe on their word. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. That they also may be one in Us. That the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one even as We are one. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will. Here is His prayer for us. That they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Our great high priest, by virtue of His sacrifice and His intercessory work, has secured our eternal salvation and glory. And we're going to be with Him throughout all eternity. And it'll all be due to His love. The next time you get discouraged and downtrodden and you feel unloved, I hope you remember that He's loved you with an everlasting love. And He's proved it like no one ever has or ever will. It's a wonderful thing to feel loved. Sometimes when I think of who I am, I'm amazed that anybody loves me. And it feels good when you know somebody really cares about you. How much more glorious is it to think that the most wonderful person with all power in heaven and earth would love you from one eternity to the other. I hope you know Him. There's nothing more glorious than to know the Savior, to be loved by Him and experience that. Let's all stand.